Welcome. And afternoon session. And my apologies that I remember that when I left here, I was rushing to another meeting. Now back-to-back meetings. My apologies for that. I was starting a little bit late. Let me also welcome our colleagues, the chairperson and the whip of the public works. Thank you very much for joining us. And special welcome to the brand new acting DG. Acting DG, you know, I like attention, you know. You're welcome. We're not intending to have a long meeting. Also, where are your other members?
Other members of mine, where are yours?
Just on that point of information.
Yeah, he's 100%.
Okay. The whip will be joining us. That I had hardly finished. But the reason we inviting the department is it's really not a new story. Department has become our customer. DG, we're meeting you for the first time. We are just inform you that the department has become our customer. We hope that now that you have joined the department, you will help. We know that you will have to steer the ship. We know that the minister is really working very hard, but we are aware of the situation that he has inherited. But at the same time, we need to ensure that we are briefed about the situation from time to time, and contribute as well as Parliament in ensuring that all of us get the results that we want from the department. The understanding has really drawn attention of the members, and Honorable Swartz had written to the committee to invite the minister to be part of this meeting. Well, our view is that we have to hear from ministers themselves as to whether they are aware of the understanding of what's happening. However, for this particular case, we thought that we haven't heard from yourself. When the minister comes here, it is because he is coming here to intervene. And I think that the frustration that perhaps the honorable member was raising is because, like I say, that it has been a perpetual situation that this understanding is going on. But especially the EPWP. So the main reason really is that what we would like to hear from yourself is what is the department doing to ensure that the spending is improved in this area. We know that as the two committees that for instance, the department has changed during the this financial year change the system of just expecting especially the municipalities to deliver, but made a schedule six, am I right? The schedule six, where the department just gives some money up front. But we're not here to hear the progress about that. We're just here to listen to the last quarter of 2012-2011. I'm sure that will also be covered in the way forward. I don't know, Chair, if there's anything you want to add. Okay. Then over to you, DG.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. Maybe just before we get to the presentation, let me just quickly mention that I know that most of you are familiar with public works, but it's always good to reemphasize certain things that we have five programs for the department. Program one, program
two. You will introduce yourself and the team.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm already in
there. I know that you think that is your committee that's familiar with you.
My name is Mandisa Fakela Lindsay. I'm the Acting Director General of Public Works, and this is Mr. Sue Musakomi. She's the Acting Chief Financial Officer. She's been with the department for years, actually, more than 10 years. Am I right? After we released our CFO, we brought her back to finance, at least to act for now. Introduce yourselves at the back.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Mpoma Shaba. I am the parliamentary officer in the ministry. And with me is the media liaison officer, also in the ministry. His name is Mr. Sabelo Mali.
I will be charged for sitting in the members' seat. Okay, thanks, DJ.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry about my non-appearance last week. I had a serious bronchitis. I've never had bronchitis in my entire life. This was the first one. So I guess things are changing. I don't know whether it's linked to climate change, but I hope that I never get this again. But I'm still under treatment, but I'm fine. I was just saying that Public Works has five programs. And while many honorable members here would actually be familiar with this, but it's important that I just quickly speak to those programs. Program one, which would include the ministry, the DG's office, which basically is lumped as administration, and corporate services branch, which is quite a huge branch, constituting a lot of chief directorates, legal, gender, HR in its various forms, and security and IT. Then we would have program two. Program two, the reason why it's important, as I mentioned, these programs, the biggest money in public works resides under program two and program three. Program three would be the EPWP because of the conditional grants and the incentive grants that this program received, which Chairperson, you have alluded to in terms of the spending. It's quite a huge program in terms of budget allocation. Program two has various sub-programs, asset investment management and special projects, but that's where most of the infrastructure budget is spent. Program four would be the construction and the property regulation, which really is about the regulation and transformation of both the construction and property industries. And then program five, it's the auxiliary services, which is quite important because we deal with issues like prestige and all of that under program five. and obviously the inauguration of the president, some of the programs, projects that we deal with there. So when you see overspending, for example, under Program 5, most of it's overspending that gets, that is normally addressed through our interaction with Treasury, because that's where we get money. For example, if somebody passes on, we get money from that program, but we write to Treasury. Treasury pays us back. For example, in the last financial year, we overspent a lot on Program 5 because of the funerals that we had to conduct and other strategic projects that we are busy with as public works. But having said that, as Chairperson, the other thing that I just want to mention is that public works is a unique role, as honorable members know, is the fact that we don't only spend public works capital budget, we also spend the capital budget of client departments. And that client budget runs into billions. And the underspending is related to both capital and public works capital and client capital. It's quite, this is the issue that we are looking at, because it's related, amongst other things, to planning in the department, the capacity to plan and be able to deliver these projects on time. But we are paying attention to that through our turnaround intervention. And then the issue of EPWP spend is being addressed at Chairperson through the new formula that we have come up with around the issue of incentive grants. As you know that now we pay upfront 40% to municipalities, but I think it's important for me, for honorable members, to hear us out when we say, while public works has to ensure that the money is spent and is doing its best to support, to provide technical support to municipalities, the challenge of municipalities not claiming the money will not go away until the issues affecting capacity issues affecting the local government sphere are addressed. We have the International Labour Organization supporting us to provide technical support in municipalities, but Chairperson, it's true that even if you would send 10 technical people in a particular municipality and they walk away from that municipality with a business plan, an EPWP business plan, if when they walk away the municipality is still not optimally functional, you will still not be able to implement EPWP. So the challenges of municipalities, what I'm trying to say is, are bigger than public works, because public works as a department is not managing or responsible for municipalities. So that's a matter that we all need to pay attention to, that we are trying our best. And we have also taken further, as you know, Chairperson and honorable members, that we're signing protocols with provinces and with municipalities. Over the past few months, I know that I've appended my signature to many memoranda of understanding with the various sphere of government. But the challenges are around capacity, especially in the local government sphere. And then having said that, Chairperson, I'm just going to hand over to Sue to quickly take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, honorable members, acting DG, and colleagues. This will be the presentation deal with the fourth quarter of the previous financial year. And the presentation will deal with expenditures and the intensive summary program. We'll also look at the trend and also the notes and the monthly expenditure analysis. Then we will focus on the infrastructure performance and also the EPWP performance. First of all, the reason why we call this a preliminary expenditure report is because the Office of Auditor General has not concluded their audit yet. I know this is far behind the schedule, but they are ripping it up, but they haven't concluded yet. That's why whatever information we provided, we still call it preliminary because it's not the final audited figure. Although we do adjust some of the figures based on whatever information they give us, but we still in the process of winding down the audit process. If I can just give a summary, in terms of our expenditure, I'm going to focus on the variance. This is based on a request last week. We're going to focus on variance and look at some of the issue about the over-expenditure and under-expenditure. For example, if we look at the 2011-12, which is previous financial year, if we look at the total, The final appropriation account is 7.8 billion, and the actual expenditure is 7 billion. The variance, which is like under expenditure, is 768 million. And then that would come to our expenditure ratio of the 90%. If we compare with expenditure with the previous financial year of 2010-11, and under the 2010-11, the final appropriation is 7.3 billion, and then the actual expenditure total is 6.6 billion. The variance is 749 million, and the expenditure percentage stays the same as the 90%. If we come down to look at how the expenditure look like in terms of economic classification, the total expenditure, if you look at under the focus area, that will be really somewhere in the middle. If you look at transfer and subsidy, where we see that 354 million for the under expenditure, and that's where the focus we're going to zero in. The next thing which we're going to call to your attention is the payment for capital assets, especially dealing with the building and other fixed structures. There you see the under expenditure of 425 million. So this will be our focus point for this afternoon. Now we look at the classification. If you look at the program one, in terms of variance, which is not really a big issue, then if we just look at it, if the total variance about 17 million of the over expenditure, then I'm going to take this through under the expenditure note to see what is that all about. If we go to the program two, this is where we can see that the problem area come in. Look at it under the payment of capital assets, there's a place called infrastructure for 425 million. That's where the other expenditure come in, which is where the DG mentioned it earlier. If we look at the program three, the problem area, the focus we're going to have is for under the transfer and the subsidy. Program 3 is EPWP. If you look at the under the middle economic classification transfer subsidy, you see that figure about the variance, which is under expenditure 357 million. The program 4 is not so much a big issue, although the total variances will come to 2.2 million, and that one we are going to explain it later. The program 5, you will see this is where you look at the total expenditure, about the 6.1, and that's where we're going to talk about what it is all about, which is where DG mentioned about it, dealing with our special function. Now we come to the note where, if you remember that earlier we talked about program 1, dealing with the compensation of employees, we see there's a 2 over expenditure and 4 under the program 1 and a program 2. And in terms of overexpenditure compensation employee is 17 million. Then under the overexpenditure of the program one, which has been classified as unauthorized expenditure, and we have reported to the National Treasury and also the Office of the Auditor General. You got me if I speak a little bit faster, because I really want to give the time to the DG to answer the question. The second thing, we deal with the goods and services. If you can see that in terms of goods and services, there are areas we're dealing with the over expenditure, and especially if you look at the third bullet, the over expenditure that come to the goods and service is because of the advance payment paid to the Independent Development Trust during the year of 2010-11, and because our rollover request was not approved, so therefore the budget is stretching out, and that's the reason why it becoming lead to the over expenditure. If we come down to the transfer and subsidy, if you look at the total amount under the bulletin 2, the bullet 2, it's talk about is dealing with the under expenditure, especially in regard to the EPWP incentive grant of the infrastructure part, dealing with the provinces and municipalities. The program 4 is over expenditure, and that was a payment relating to Argument SA. Now we come to the payment for capital I mentioned earlier under the second bullet. You will see that is dealing with the expenditure of the infrastructure for that 425 million. And there's a machinery, which is a smaller amount, is 5%, equivalent to about 3.9 million. Now let's focus on the infrastructure performance. And I think this is a part where we're going to look at it much more deeper. If you look at the issue regarding the departmental infrastructure performance, Look at it under departmental, we have an allocation of 468 million. The expenditure is 285 million. So the expenditure up to the end of the March is 60%. When it comes to accessibility, the allocation is 25 million, expenditure is 11 million, and then the expenditure percentage comes to 46%. And the Dolomite is 46 million allocations. Expenditure actual is come to 32 million. The expenditure ratio is 70%. The land port of entry, the allocation is 310 million. Expenditure is 274 million. So the percentage spread thing is 89%. The next item deals with the inner city regeneration. The allocation is 122 million. Expenditure is 42 million. The expenditure trend and percentage come to 34%. When it comes to the very last item, special and major project, the allocation is 472 million. The expenditure come to 365 million. So the percentage expenditure ratio is 77%. So if we allocate all the total, that means the total allocation under our infrastructure budget is 1.4 under the department board. The expenditure comes to 1 billion, and so the total average percentage expenditure is 70%. Then we go down to show you that to say that by the end of the year, there's 720 million, which is committed to the project. That means those are under the construction phases of stage 5A to 7. And there's a 227 million, which was project not issued the implementation, which is the stage 2 to 3. And the 96 million for project, which is still the design phase of the tender stages. We just wanted to show you, beside the one which is very complete expenditure, what are the other expenditure under the motion which haven't gone through the process. Now we come to say what the reason is. We say the reason for this unexpenditure is affected by the following reasons. The first one is that Treasury policy instruction during the times of May and July 2011, and the tender process has got interrupted because it's circular, which is request us to ask for concurrence. And those 3 months are the time we really lost because of waiting for concurrence to advertise these tenders. The second reason is planning the registration of the project, which where the money still has ahead, and then you find in the sense that that's where we talk about the issue about the planning and execution, which still need alignment from the department side. The third issue is a program about approval. For example, we ask for to approve the program for workshops, water operator programs, or the culture program at the port entry. This one was not allocated within, and that's why there's a suspension of program. And these are the programs really they can get it to us to be able to speedily execute our infrastructure project. The fourth one deals with the low expenditure on allocation to IDT, and which is the IDT school program, which is also affected by the transfer of the funds. Then the next reason is the late issue about procurement instruction, especially in particular to accessibility programs, because the funded planning instruction were confirmed in September for implementation in the same year. The very last one is back to the issue about instability of the project leadership with the regional offices, where the head of finance, the project, and those positions cannot be filled due to the low classification of the post and also the strict criteria of the OSD, which is occupational spatial dispensation. Now we look into the EPWP issues. Now we're going to show you to say in terms of the incentive grant to the provinces, in terms of infrastructure, one wanted to show you the breakdown about how the expenditure in each of provinces. You see, for example, in Haoding, it's only 1% is incentive is earned. If you go down to the Northern Cape, it's 16%, and the Western Cape is 5%. So it gives us an average of 85% as average. Now we go and look at the detail of the municipality in terms of incentive grant. If you can look at it, actually, the municipality side, you find that the low percentage ratio is at KwaZulu-Natal for 17%. Then we look at the Northern Cape is 12%. Then in the average, you see that the total average comes to the 56%. The causes for low incentive drawdown is because of poor and under-reporting on the EPWP work opportunity created by projects. You find the amount of incentive paid to the public entity has to depend on the reporting. So if the reporting is not done accordingly, and then they won't be able to access to our drawdown. The next issue, which is also a very key issue, is a low labor-intensive project being implemented by public entities. In the sense is that although there's a lot of infrastructure project which is undertaken, but you find it's only those low, the labor-intensive project will be able to access to our incentive grant. So if the municipality or provinces don't implement those low labor-intensive projects, then in the sense they are not qualified for access to our incentive grant. The third reason is the poor technical capacities at the public bodies to design and implement projects as a labor intensively. Oftentimes you find that our design team and technical team still not be able to handle a labor intensive methodology. They are more used to the conventional one, using the machinery and technology to handle the project. Then the measure for us as an intervention to improve the performance is that EPWP units, officials, and the data catchers are helping the public entity collect EPWP information for reporting. And when it comes to municipal officials, they have been trained in labor-intensive methods for constructions. Under the years of 2011-12, we have trained more than 1,000 officials. The third measure we undertake is for public body officials to be trained on reporting so that they can improve their capacity to report. And the final measure we undertake is from EPWP side is to see to that we revise this schedule from Schedule 8 to Schedule 5 and 6 for provinces and also the municipalities. So what it means is that 14% of the incentives paid upfront to the public body, so that it will be better for them to have a kick start and also better planning by the public bodies. So that will be end of my presentation, and the DG will explain further about any other further interventions, especially from the turnaround perspective. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. There you are. Honorable Anshan. Yeah, we're together at the legislature. Honorable Swart. Okay. Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just find it incomprehensible that you can overspend on personnel, because you budget for a certain number of people in your department. Some positions are not even filled. We know that there's also huge vacancies. So how do you overspend on staff? That's a predictable, you know, regular amount. They must please explain that to me, how that is possible. And then I want to ask a question about accountability. Now, the staff that is there, and it's absorbing, it seems, a lot of funds, they were overspending, but then they have very little to show for the efforts because we have underspending on infrastructure and EPWPs. That's the major, very important project. So I start worrying we should actually start charging staff, hold them accountable, personally accountable for expenditure where we can show nothing for their efforts.
Thank you. Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not surprised that this is a preliminary report because, you know, it should be, because I'm not surprised that the Auditor General is still investigating the situation at the department. You know, to underspend by some 768 million rand is serious because, you know, that money could have been used productively somewhere else. But, you know, we just haven't got it, and it forms part of a major portion of the 11.5 billion that was underspent by all departments during this particular financial year. But, you know, just to latch onto what Honorable Ray has said, you know, the overspending on certain items, whether it's salaries or whatever the case might be, and the unauthorized expenditure in that regard. It's like writing out a check without having any money in the bank. And just because you're the state, you can do it, you know, and that is irresponsible, and those are irresponsible actions. In our case, if we do it as private individuals, the bank manager will soon pull us up and tell us, sorry, no funds, no money for you. And take your checkbook. But, Chair, 425 million of that 768 million was on capital projects, was not spent on capital projects. And we know that the situation and the condition of the buildings in which DPW has got to look after and they've got to maintain is in a shocking state. It is terrible. But, you know, nothing is being done about it, and they see it fit not to spend the money on capital projects and repairing the buildings and doing the things with the money that they should be doing with it. A large proportion is also EPWP, but okay, we understand that if municipalities don't perform, then it gets more difficult. But, surely I see that the department is now going to try and help municipalities with the EPWP, so I hope we have a better situation next time around. But this committee has been on about EPWP. I don't know how many meetings we've had with the department on EPWP, and nothing has improved. We're still sitting on a 50% expenditure after 3 years. We've sat to that number. Then, Chair, I would just like to know whether this is correct. I understand that when Public Works negotiates or has to rent buildings for other state departments, they don't go out to tender for those buildings. They negotiate. And in fact, three out of four every leases are negotiated with somebody. They don't go out to tender, so it's not open to everybody to actually get those. And, the negotiated lease, for instance, occupied by the Department of Home Affairs will earn Mr. Manaka Properties, whose shareholders include the Limpopo Premier, Mr. Batali, and the former chairman of the Limpopo Tender Board, Yanni Mulman, and the current chairman of the National Assembly Finance Committee, Mr. Thabo Mofumahadi, has tied 265 million rand over the lease period. The annual cost of the negotiated leases is 242 million. And I'm just wondering if the report can explain to me why they don't go out to tender on leases that they've got to enter into on behalf of departments. Why can they do it in certain instances and not in all instances? Because this is not the way to go. You know, it's not acceptable that we negotiate leases for this purpose.
Okay, Honorable Mfula.
Thank you, Shepherdson. I can see you're talking about that you've paid 40% upfront to IDT. What did you say?
No, it's 40% for municipality.
For municipality, or not for IDT. But you've paid IDT upfront.
Yes. Yeah.
Why? Because all I want to understand is to say, what made you to believe that you can pay the money upfront to the IDT? What makes them you to trust them at that moment? Because I believe that you can't just, because at the end of the day, some of the things did not happen. So that's what I want to start. And I could, you on the other side, you're talking about training hundreds of officials in terms of training, where those, not 100,000, are those standards spread, or is it only on a, are they spread according to provinces, or what? And then in terms of your vacant positions, what is this? It's one of the slides where you're talking about vacancies of position. I'll just check it, which, because I wanted to understand what does that really mean, because already they have overspent in terms of positions. And, okay, no. It's about the positions, the classifications. You said on your slide number 15,
You say in Pretoria, Mabat and Polokwane due to lower classification of the position. Now, my question is to say, if I'm an is there, why is it classified lower? But I believe that in terms of some of the positions, they should be in the same grade or whatever you call it. It shouldn't differ from, or is your position differ from province to province, how you pay people? If I'm a financial officer in KwaZulu-Natal, is it not the same like the one in Gauteng? Because this is the reason why, due to lower classification of the post, why was it, you know, classified lower? Because of that. Because I believe it's one department, so it should be equal to everybody.
Thanks, Chairperson. Mine is on. Thanks, sir. It's on page 4 on the compensation of the employees. It's 101%. My concern is that unless most of the vacancies have been filled, DPW had a lot of vacancies. But now, if already the
overspending.
Yeah, the overspending is there. So what are we talking about here? Secondly, on page 6, on the expenditure on immovable asset management, I think we've got a very serious problem on the asset register. But already the expenditure is 100%, 970, and the asset register is really not, I mean, it doesn't deserve this amount of money that has been spent on the staff members. Again, on the, I won't say anything about inner city regeneration. They know what we proposed as the portfolio committee. Also on page 17, on the EPWP incentive grant by municipalities, really, if you can have a situation where there is zero on page 16, 1% expenditure, 0% expenditure, even 5% is just next to nothing. Especially because we are under the impression that this EPWP at least assists the semi-skilled people, or it's assisting with the unemployment. And my question is, what is the department doing to assist the municipalities? Because even for other municipalities to really get it right, we had to ask the officials from the department to go around with us when we're doing the oversight visits to see for themselves what is going on in some of the municipalities. But I'm surprised really that now we're still giving reports about the 0% expenditure from some of the municipalities. Thanks,
Chair. Hello, sir. Honorable Dr. Pandeki, do you have your hand up? Well, okay. Thank you, Chairperson.
I also had this inner city regeneration program, of which we had asked for a report so that we should know what actually is being covered and how the money is spent, and to see that it still spends 34%. Really, I think maybe the portfolio committee has, as the portfolio committee says, they came up with some solutions to address this issue. I think they will be cost effective, and we see the impact of whatever is being done about this inactive generation, because it has been there for a long time,
and we've been asking questions about where is it, how tangible is it. The last time we heard about it is when they told us that it has spread to rural areas, and realized that it's really getting lost. Mm-hmm. That's why the percentage is so low. And I thought on slide 19, talking about data capturers, we were really hopeful that you have data capturers and we'll see some progress in the reporting system of the EPW2, because some time ago you told us that it was a solution. It should actually have been classified after successes, under successes, but it still are under measures to be taken. We want to know what impact it had, because according to us, and judging from the long time that we have never seen you, I think it should be having some positive effect. How effective it is and what impact did it have on this program? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Parameter? Chairperson?
On the EPWP, I remember we requested the National Treasury to give the municipalities 40% upfront so that it can be utilized. So now if there's zero percentage expenditure, it's really... That's why I'm emphasizing on the point that maybe the EPWP, I mean DPW, together with corporate governance, they need to come together and do something, because people are hungry up out there. So we can't have a situation where the money is just sitting there in steps and not utilized by the municipalities. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. Let me just add a few questions then. I think the DG, acting DG, did allude that most of the programs did understand. For instance, on program 2, the National Treasury says that the understanding program 2 was mainly due to slow movement and expenditure for infrastructure. And as a result, only 70% of the allocated infrastructure budget was used or was spent. Because of lack of capacity. Now, the question perhaps is, what are we doing? When you're talking lack of capacity, exactly what kind of skills that are we talking about, and what are we doing about those skills that we are running short of? But just to piggyback on the question that my colleague raised about advancing payment to IDT up front. I don't want to ask who did that, I don't know the name of the person, but to say what is being done to, what did the department do about that once it discovered that the person has advanced payment to IDT without having gained the approval of National Treasury in terms of the rollover. For the report, apparently that there was expectation that the rollover would be approved, but the rollover was declined. Now, I don't know if any action was taken to that person. But what is this program? I don't know if it's a program or project, Agreement South Africa?
Agreement.
Sorry?
It's an entity.
Oh, it's an entity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is it doing? So. But I would like us later, Chair, that we talk about this issue of the EPWP. Because I agree, correct me, Mwana, EPWP must succeed. And we come a long way, as members were saying, just to get the department to advance 40% to municipalities. But even the remaining one, we must find a way of ensuring that how do we spend this money. And correctly, I mean, honorable members are saying, it's an area that has been identified for creating jobs. And you look at the spending, the expenditure by the provinces. Clearly, the provinces are not interested. I mean, you can't have a situation where they don't spend a cent. But why is it that, I mean, the issue is, what are we doing about it? How do we encourage them to ensure that they're spending? And so those are the areas that I would really want us to come up with what you call a suggestion that we could do something. You know, I don't think that there's nothing that can be done because we must, this project must succeed. But also there are other programs, you know, for job creation. Is it going for energy? I've got a lot of papers. You know, this program for job creation, other than EPWP, they are also not spending. You know, there's low expenditure in them, and we understand that we know KZN, for instance, in EPWP, that is spending well, but only 17% was transferred to KZN, 12% was transferred to Northern Cape, 43% was transferred to Gauteng. But what are the challenges? What are the challenges? And I think that may be the issue that I'm saying that we really need to engage more. Over to yourself, teaching.
thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. The overspending in the compensation of employees, we have looked into that. What has happened is that part of this spend was on contract positions. We are currently now, it's just that we're talking about, obviously, the report of the previous fiscal year. But we're looking at all these contract positions, but to actually, when they come into when the contract expires, that they don't get renewed. But it's not all of those contract positions that won't be renewed, because we also have young people that are part of our young professional program. And who we want to keep, who are coming in as interns, as architects and engineers, it's just part of our program to try and attract young people to stay in government. So the overspending is largely attributed or partly attributed to the contract positions. Those that are non-core chairperson, although the financial statements already indicate that there's been an overspending, but those that are non-core, we're looking at not renewing them. That would be unfortunate because of obviously we can't spend money that we don't have, regardless of the fact that there's high unemployment in the country. But those non-core, which is what public works does not necessarily need, those will be in areas like HR and other support units. We'll just have to get rid of them, unfortunately. And it's just a fact. We'll only be able to keep and motivate under the turnaround budget, in particular for the positions of young people who are coming in to resuscitate our internal professional services. So I'm agreeing that we should not spend money that you don't have, but we're trying currently to address that. And also, Chairperson and honourable members, that there has been an underspending of more than 700 million in terms of the capital budget. Yes, it's not only related to the treasury issue of the treasury instruction note, but it's also an issue of capacity. We have a floater structure, like I've said before, but where you need posts to be filled, that did not happen, I guess, for various reasons. One of them was the occupational specific dispensation implementation, but also part of people probably, the engineers and the architects, not really incentivized to come and work for government, but there are various reasons for that. But also the lack of planning capacity is the major cause of underspending under Program 2. That I agree, Chairperson. What we are doing now is to ensure that we use the toolkit that we have always had as public works, which we developed with Treasury, the infrastructure development toolkit. It basically aligns the infrastructure planning properly with the budgeting. But also the toolkit will not deal with underspending if we do not rebuild public works internally. That is one of the areas that we are looking at under the current turnaround, that we try and bring back all the professionals, at least who would want to work for government. Because you must remember that the history of public works, if you go back years ago, most of the project managers and all these professionals who work in these big companies, be it Marie and Roberts, be it, or rather, to just talk about Group 5, most of them were trained in public works. I think the biggest mistake that probably was done, a policy decision, was to close also the workshops in public works, which used to resource buildings that public works is responsible for. But it does not help for us, the department, to lament this issue, but it's basically to say, what are we going to do about it? Sure. We're trying to resuscitate the workshop. There's already on the minister's desk a budget of about $500 million that we need to rebuild and resuscitate the workshops in the nine provinces. Now the question is, we're motivating now to Treasury that if you could get this money, and as we know that we may not get the entire $500,000 budget because of the
half a billion
because of the demand on the fiscal already as we speak. In a meeting with the DG Treasury, in a budget review meeting, in actual fact, he made it clear to all government departments that there is no new money. Work within what you have. So these are some of the contrasting positions that we find ourselves in. We say you want to resuscitate the workshop, we already have a proposal that will cost the country more than $500 million. Now you have to get into negotiations of whether Treasury, how much Treasury is going to give to you to be able to do exactly what you want to do. On the issue of, the issue of underspending in projects, Chairperson is receiving our attention, but it has already happened, and we're trying to address that through what I have said earlier. The EPWP underspending, I have, I have seen phase one come and go of the EPWP. Now this is phase two. I know that the department has done its best to actually deal with these two spheres of government. But if you look in this presentation, the provinces that are not spending are not the poor provinces necessarily, with the exception maybe of Northwest. The question then is, Western Cape, if you say Western Cape has spent like, is it 5%? The question is the Western Cape government would have, Gauteng is the economic hub of the country. So there would be other issues involved there that will make these two big provinces not spend the money that they are allocated. And it could be various issues, but as a department, I know that ministers of public works have always engaged with the political principals in all the provinces. Hence now, we have a memoranda of understanding with all the provinces. But then, what I know you want from us is, what are we doing? Are we doing our level best to ensure that the budget is spent? I can safely claim that, at least from our part, we are. But when provinces that are not necessarily handicapped also don't spend the budget, then there could be other issues, because they have not said to us, we need help, we can't spend the budget. On the issue of negotiated leases, Chairperson.
I'm sorry, just to be rude to you. This agreement or memorandum of understanding that you have with the provinces, is it with the public works, what you call a department? For instance, there's no uniformity in terms of, in terms of the how the provinces, where the what you call the budget is located in the province. In KZN, it's in transport department. It's not in the public works. So that's why I'm just raising this question. Or maybe that should take that into account, you know. Thank you.
The memos are Chairperson assigned with the premier.
Wow, okay.
Because upon reflection on how we're doing with with phase one, and also when we started phase two, we realize also that if you do not locate this responsibility in the Premier's office, so that the Premier can be able to hold accountable the various MECs with infrastructure budgets, at least, that they push for labor-intensive spending. On the issue of negotiated leases is just one way of actually procuring the lease, but it cannot be the norm. There are various reasons that has made us to find ourselves in this situation. Some of those reasons, Chairperson and honorable members, are the fact that you find that most, because of government stock that is not in a good condition, and the reliance, in as much as we have adopted a policy position to reduce leases and move government departments to government stock. Most of government buildings, they need major investment to rehabilitate them into optimal use. Now, we're sitting with a maintenance budget since 1994 that has not been able to cater for the refurbishment of government buildings. It puts us in a corner that we don't want to be in, because you have to move government buildings, you have to move government departments into available, habitable stock. So we find ourselves that at times the client departments themselves, because they are already occupying this building, and because they have invested in this building, because when you acquire accommodation for a government department, there's what is called tenant installation. Tenant installation would be the refurbishment of this building to accommodate the needs of the client. So you find that other clients are saying, I'm okay at this address, I don't want to move, so can you please renegotiate the lease with the landlord or the landlady? But like I said, that it cannot be the norm, but if we want to deal with it as and make it not a norm going forward is to make sure that there is investment in government stock. But government, for the past 17 years or so, there has not been enough money for the refurbishment of government buildings. If you look at our budget currently as presented to you, you will see that there isn't enough allocation of a budget, be it for maintenance or for rehabilitation, to make sure that we reduce our reliance on leases. So that's something. Yes.
Namutra.
I have a follow-up question, Mr. Chair. Can I ask it now? Yes, okay.
Yeah, you can ask it now.
Yes, thank you. The department made irregular advance payments to the IDT before obtaining an approval.
I thought the follow-up
No, not
okay,
on that point.
That's all, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I picked it.
Okay. Oh yeah, the IDT advance. The department was given a budget to implement an energy efficiency project, and I think towards the end of that year, the department gave that money to the IDT because the IDT is an implementing agent of government, and it is officially recognized as the implementing agent responsible to deliver a social infrastructure. That's how the advance came, or giving the budget over for the IDT to assist us to implement that program. Yes, it is true that we should have asked for permission from Treasury. That was not done. But the money, the IDT did make a presentation to Parliament more than a month ago on this program, where things are, but the money has been well spent, but it was just an administrative technicality of transferring that money without necessarily making sure that it does not straddle the two financial years. But there is a presentation on this energy efficiency program which can be made available to honorable members.
Can come in. Yeah.
Yeah. On the point now that you just mentioned the IDT, and that yes, I want to know which official, I want a name please, authorized that payment, and on what date was that done? Because we had, you know, at the beginning of this year, when the new minister just took over, he gave the portfolio committee a thorough briefing on the turnaround strategy of the department, and all sorts of things was going to happen. And now it seems, in spite of that, and since that presentation, irregular actions are still taking place. After, you know, the minister put his turnaround strategy on the table, and he was in the media, and he was very open and frank about it, individual officials in the department still do irresponsible things like that, for example, making payments without obtaining approval for it. And the IDT is technically bankrupt. I was in that committee when they made a presentation to us.
Chairperson, I'm not so sure if I'm understanding Honorable Dreyer properly. This money was given to the IDT in the previous fiscal year. Is it 2010-2011? Yes. So it did not happen in November, when minister arrived in November 2011. It happened months before.
2011.
It straddled two financial years, 2010-2011. 2012.
Okay.
The money was advanced in towards the end of 2010-2011, but got spent in the 11-12 fiscal year for the energy efficiency. I just wanted to correct that.
Okay.
But it does not make it right that it was sent to the IDT during a tricky time of implementation.
Mr. Chetri, I still want to know what happened to that official who authorized that payment, because there must be consequences. That's the whole thing. So what happened to that person who authorized that payment?
Chairperson, as Honorable Dreyer knows that we did release our former chief financial officer because she signed on it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to come in just to explain the technical part of it.
Yeah.
Previously, we do now and then transfer payment to ITT to execute certain program. But in previously, the AG interpret that as a part of once-off transfer. So therefore, they explained it as a year where we make the transfer. But during the years of 2010-11, AG has a different interpretation about that transfer is, in the sense that they say the money we transfer should be classified as advance payment, not as a payment once off. So therefore, whatever money we can claim as expenditure should be based on the work already been done. So this interpretation only come in the middle of the financial year. So what we are saying, they say if we transfer 20 million, in the previous years or before, we used to do it, then we just expense that 20 million entirely. But when the AG come out to do the intern audit, they said no.
Acting CFO, acting CFO, don't put yourself in a corner. Ne? What we know, I think that we all understand the processes of the rollover. The rollover means that if this year you intended to do this, you could not do that, but you have committed the funds on that. Then on that basis, then you can have the expectation that you can get a rollover because you have already committed the funds. Not when the service provider comes during the year. It must have been that towards the end of the year you committed this fund, then to you ask the National Treasury to for a rollover. And also, you know that in many instances, National Treasury may not give 100% rollover, you know. I think that that's where the challenge is. That's fine. Congressman, you wanted to say something? A little bit off. Let's just hold. You will at the right time, then you will come up. Come on, sir. Oh, okay. No, it's fine. No. It's not related to this. Ne? No, let's just allow them to finish there.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And then, Chairperson and honorable members, there was a question about lower classification of certain posts in the different regions. I think the original decision that was taken to actually classify, because we have a system of categorizing the regions as Region A and Region B, and this is really largely driven by the budget these regions are commanding, because the regions are not equal. Like, for example, our Western Cape office, we know that it commands a bigger budget on certain programs, but also because they have a huge prestige account with the department, or rather here in the Western Cape, so we'll find that they get a bigger budget allocation. And we have the same with Gauteng. Gauteng, we have two regional offices, one in Pretoria and one in Johannesburg. So also because of the presence of the prestige account, amongst other things, in Pretoria, you'll find that the Pretoria regional office will also be one of those that command a more budget. But that does not necessarily mean, therefore, that we're not looking at resourcing these regions to have project managers, but there's been, it's like the what's happening in the health department, whereby doctors are reluctant to go and work in rural hospitals. So you find that some of our professional people don't want to go and work in Umthatha. Because before it was the issue of the occupational specific dispensation. We are in that now, we are implementing that, but it's about incentivizing them to go and work in some of these so-called rural provinces. So that's something that I guess a chairperson, I won't say that we have a solution for it now, but it's something that we need to take serious, we look into seriously. But for now, we know that people may are not interested to go and work in Mahikeng and relocate to Mahikeng, but we are looking at the rebuilding of our professional services, is to make sure that if we rebuild the professional services capacity in the organization, we can be able to send a team to go and assist in Mahikeng. But because now, in terms of what we have, in terms of the capacity of the professional services, the engineers, the architects, the construction managers, the project managers, we are having limited, at least, impact in those provinces. But the plan going forward is to ensure that you send a team of these various aspects to these regional offices where most of our people don't necessarily want to go and work in. On the issue of the ICR chapters...
Thank you, Chairperson. I now understand why people don't want to go and work there. I mean, all of us are qualified. You come from the same university and everything. And then you want to come and tell me because I'm in the rural Namakwaland area with the same qualification as someone who's in town. I must be paid less because there's not much demand. I understand why people are doing that. I won't go there also. Because all that we need to look at, in my own understanding, you look at the qualifications that you're talking about, because some of us don't want to stay in urban areas. We want to be in that rural area with the same treatment. So for me, that is where the challenges come in. And I believe that maybe the department and the portfolio committee can discuss that. Because it can be an issue of people don't want to go there. It's an issue of all of us come from the same university, same qualification. Why do we pay differently? Because my environment does not demand a lot of money, the other demand. And I believe that's where also we are missing the issue of rural development. Because also we classify our funds according to who's, yes, Gauteng is big, Kestan is big, but they are big in numbers of people. And then in rural areas, the area are back to each other. So it's one and the same thing. Because okay. This one demands more transport, this one or this one demands more people. So we need to look and see how to be balanced. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I think that we misunderstood what the teacher was saying. I understood the teacher to be talking about the offices. That the offices are getting bigger allocations because they are big and therefore bigger responsibilities. I understood you, teacher, to be saying as well, as far as the people are concerned, to attract people to the rural area, then there has to be this incentive called OSP. I don't know if my interpretation is correct.
Yes, incentivize them more because
that's correct,
for
yes.
Years the challenge was the OSD was not
implemented. Otherwise the incentive goes to the people to attract them to the rural area.
Exactly. It's just like what I heard about Cape Town, for example. If I were to make an example about the Western Cape, some people would not necessarily come and work here because they find that properties are expensive. So even when they want to come and work here, they find it difficult to buy a house. If you are in a particular package. So you find that probably companies here and probably even parliament maybe is finding it difficult to retain professionals, in the Western Cape, if that is the case. But at least I'm from here, so I would say that probably the example would be fair, because I know that properties are expensive here, relatively speaking. On the issue of the inner city regeneration, Chairperson, maybe what we could do is just to talk about this program at a special briefing, because I know that because of the changes in portfolio committee members, in most of these committees, the honorable members who are interested in this program, maybe they don't have a fuller picture of this. This program was well thought through. It was a program that was that originates from, or it was linked to the program of government, then of inner city regeneration. Cabinet took a decision that we cannot let our cities go into decay, and therefore government departments must stay in the city center. We started that program in Tshwane, and we called it Rehabisa Tshwane. There is a cabinet decision on this that says all government departments must reside in the city center. If you go to Pretoria now and, for example, you stand outside the Department of Basic Education and you look across, you see the national, the beautiful National Library, which Public Works delivered, including this building of basic education, and you look across, you see another government department. If you look there and say, even if you're not a town planner, but now you have this information, you will begin to pick up what government was planning. The plan was to create precincts, and also even the way traffic was going to be moving. I met with the Tshwane Metro mayor, for example, about 2 weeks ago with the DG of International Relations, and I was raising to him informally though that what attention is he paying, for example, to the regeneration of Tshwane? And he shared with me informally ideas about the refurbishment of Tshwane. But I was saying to him, we have a program that we as Public Works, we spend a lot of money then conducting feasibility studies. We did this with the former mayor, Mkachwa. Then he left and then another mayor came. So it's been a program that has been affected by the changes also in terms of political leadership at the city level. Because we can't refurbish Tshwane as Public Works, but as Public Works we are a strategic partner of Tshwane. But we have all of this documentation in the department, but also the changes also in terms of our administrative makeup also in the department made this program to fall by the wayside. But I'm happy to say that at least I think the mayor, without speaking for him because I don't work with him, has actually is now looking at the refurbishment of Tshwane and like the idea that there was a cabinet decision that says government departments must stay in the city center and not allow cities to go into decay. But to get into the specifics of this program, Chair, it kind of took now different because we had to scale it down because of the changes, like I have said, in the city of Tshwane as well. So we had to scale it down. So we had buildings. We have there's this HG Divert building that most MPs know who are from Pretoria. We were refurbishing that because the former minister, Minister Gwen, said that we need to refurbish that building and create a student accommodation for black students who find themselves homeless when they migrate to technicons in towns and cities. But it's just been a program that has been affected by many factors, but one of them is really also the change of leadership also at the local government level.
Okay.
We understand that the DG is saying and the emphasis is on this program, but the fact remains we have an amount of money next to the program each and every year. We have in this committee on several occasions asked for a written report. Maybe as she's talking right now, we'll be understanding what she's talking about. We say, please give us a report so that we understand what you're talking about. They will go in and go out. Casey will come, someone will come, next one will come, and no report, and these defensive remarks will always be coming in. We are already had enough of them, and we are aware of the fact that it is understanding a lot, and it has it's very decorative, but we don't get the value for money on this. What we want is please explain the value for money of this Rehabisa Tshwane stroke inner city regeneration stroke whatever the strokes may be.
Now, Teacher, I think that let's take your suggestion. I heard my colleague, the chairperson, here saying maybe we would need that so that you could come. Because Honorable Mashiko is correct. It has changed names over, as you hear her saying, stroke what. It was Khalisa Tswane, and when you're revamping a building in Bloemfontein, so it was still called Khalisa Tswane for a long time. So I think that we do appreciate your suggestion, and I'm sure we'll take you from the portfolio committee the day you invite them to do this thing.
Thank you. So what's the reason for not giving us a written report then?
Yes.
Chairperson, maybe. I guess it's the first time that I've heard that you really wanted the report. Otherwise, I would have asked the report be prepared for today on that. But I don't know whether to say what, but I don't know why the report was never forwarded to the committee. But we'll attend to that issue of the report, Chairperson, with your permission.
Thank you. Now, it's fine.
The issue of the Agrimor South Africa. Agrimor is an entity of public works. It's sitting in a strange arrangement. It's attached to the CSIR in terms of physical location, and because it's a small entity, it's attached there. It's responsible for issuing fit for purpose certificates. If you have invented a new, yes, you will have to send it to Agrimor. You can't just introduce it to the market and say that I have a new invention of a different wood for a door. Then Agrimor South Africa has to issue you with a certificate recognizing your intervention that it is fit for purpose for you to use in the construction industry. Yeah. What we the reason why its allocation is it becomes a questionable matter by the AG is because it is not independently legally constituted. We are working on that to legally reconstitute it as an independent entity, because by virtue of it being aligned or also a resident within the CSIR, it makes it look like it's accounting to two ministers. But that's the arrangement around that. So when we transfer money to this entity that belongs to Public Works, it becomes an audit query, but it is actually budget that is running an entity that reports to Public Works and responsible for issuing of fit for purpose certificates for non-standard construction products.
Okay. Are you concluding, teacher?
Yeah, I think so. Are there any questions that have been answered?
On this DG, on this very... DG, on this very issue of Agrimor South Africa, I think you need to expatiate to say there's no legislation that regulates Agrimor South Africa. And each and every transfer, money transfer to Agrimor South Africa will always be seen as a irregular expenditure. I think we need to expatiate on that one, because it will always reflect irregular expenditure until there's a legislation for it.
Okay.
Chair, all of our members, in terms of data captures, as we can see, the information we have provided is the last financial year's information. And also, if you can go back to slide 16 and 17, you will see, because of time lagging issue, for example, all the reporting we have are the report about performance up to the third quarter, because the third quarter's performance incentive will only pay on the fourth quarter. So actually what it means is that the picture you see is really the performance incentive or the previous financial quarter four, plus the quarter one, two, three of the given financial year. The data capture, yes, we also strengthen the data capture and provide it to municipalities and provinces. And like what we are saying is that the information you see the result will be at this financial year's performance. Because what the intervention we are talking about is for the this financial year.
And then we'll give you benefit of the doubt, but I'm sure if members open their mouth, they will tell you that this has been reported from time immemorial, you know. But I want us to, you can answer the question, I want us to move towards a way forward.
I just wanted on this issue of drawdowns of the incentive grants, one of the things that we have discovered as Public Works is that most of our engineers, they are not trained in labor intensive methods. So there needs to be probably even at tertiary level some intervention, not just after they've graduated and working as engineers, to ensure that the engineers themselves are quite mindful of the developmental needs of the country. I know that this sounds, but it is a fact that when they leave the universities, actually, most of them, it's not all of them, are not trained in terms of, so they need further training in labor-intensive methodology so as to be able to respond to the needs of South Africa. So that these are some of the reasons that at times they contribute to the drawdowns for the EPWP, where a supervisory level is required at that technical level.
Okay.
So in short, you are saying, as much as you've got qualification, you also need to know the practical side of the work, because that's where it's lacking. Thank you.
A quick one.
Sorry.
So far, how many data capturers do we have?
Do you know of the heads? Of the cup? You know, well, this committee, they are familiar with this effect, you know. Chairperson, I just want us to move forward, you know. Congressman?
Thanks, Chair. I want to comment on two areas that we've been observed for some time. I assume that the department is the custodian of the Built Environment Act. See? And that act regulates the percentages that government must pay for professional services. So why can't we amend that act? Why are we paying like 1.8 billion rand plus minus to the professional team to do the school rapid infrastructure program? It's insane. All those drawings are the same. All the quantities have been measured the same. But we pay like, I think maybe it's about 1.5 billion in professional fees. Why?
You're paying for the certificate.
Yeah, why? You must reduce that. That thing must get reduced. You need to look at some, there you're paying 1.5 billion for professionals, but we say we can't attract professionals. So you are attracting them. But you're just paying them. No one in their right mind will come and work for the department if they can earn that kind of money. So some way you need to look at how do you restructure that, how do you then incentivize, put out adverts to companies. I mean, they'll supply you with a heap of professionals for 1.5 billion for a year. That's one project. I don't know how much the professional fees are paid out on an annual basis. It would run into a staggering amount of money. Another thing is, JC, the department themselves, by negotiating leases and not going out to tender, is pegging the value of the market, because a commercial property is worth very little without a lease. So run those leases down to month to month, those owners have basically got a property value that's next to nothing while you're renovating your properties, and then you know that you can take that money, put it back into other renovations, and get out of those leases. People have set us up, they're siphoning money out of the fiscus like crazy, utilizing these leases, and it's disgusting. So we have to be bold, I think, as a department. Run those leases down to month, you run the values down of those properties. You can even then offer them, you can buy them for nothing. But thank you.
This advice?
I support it.
I'm not sure. Honourable Swati, I wanted to say earlier.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the DG's remark about the, you know, people not wanting to work in Cape Town and so on. But I gave the minister in personally an application of an architect, qualified architect who lives in Cape Town and who wants to work for the department and apply with the departments, but he hasn't heard a word from them. But I suppose he doesn't belong to the correct party, so it's
No.
The other thing is, Chair, no, but then why don't they accept him, Chair? The other thing that I wanted to know, Chair, that was just a remark. The other, I wanted
you wanted to check it
out. Has the department now got and completed the asset register or not?
Honorable Honorable
Chairperson, thank you. Just a question that is not actually appropriate, if, with your permission. But taking into account the incentive grants to local authorities in your communication, I've read in the paper and a while ago when about the Auditor General of, I think it was Swanee, or local authorities in general. Are you in arrears? As far as I can remember, your department is in arrears, but correct me if I'm wrong, but your rates and taxes, your accounts to local authorities on all the buildings and properties that you have. Do you have any idea, if you're on, what the amount is? As far as I can remember, we talk about millions that is in arrears to put your payment to local authorities on rates and taxes. Can you just inform me on that? Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Fandel, I think you're raising an important question. I wouldn't like to ambush the, what you call it. Maybe if you can make a suggestion that we get a report on that. Because it's an issue that is often raised by local authorities, you know, that they are owed monies by the provincial and national government. So if we could get a report from the national side in writing, to the committee.
It's a small one. On the actually, when I asked the question about the employees overspending on employees, I wanted to check if maybe, because when you go around the provinces, we find that a lot of provinces are using consultants and they are draining the government dry. So if maybe out of this, don't you have also the same problem about the usage of the consultant?
If you could just respond to those questions, please.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think I agree with what the Honourable Member, the issues that you raised around the issue of the tax and...
Honourable Members, yeah.
Yes. I think I agree with that, but also you would remember that there's this CBE bill that we've been postponing to actually table in Parliament, and that has generated a lot of anger within the as an instrument of transformation. But we are looking at that. I actually appreciate that comment and. And the importance of making sure that we just push through with some of these transformation demands for the sake of South Africa. On the issue of the architect, Honourable Member, I will follow that up. It really, I don't, yes. I will follow that up.
But maybe DG, he should give also the copy of that letter to you, because you said you're looking for professional.
Yes, Minister,
you
said that. Yes, yes. For example, the Department of International Relations wants us to construct a UN precinct, and these are huge projects. And also the Pan-African Parliament, they also want us to resuscitate, for lack of a better word, the building of the Pan-African Parliament again. If you recall that we are already on site when we had environmental challenges. With the appointment of the Minister of Home Affairs to be the AU chair, that project now, the DG of International Relations, has insisted that we look into that project again. So it's going to come, I guess, in the next strategic plan of the department. It will appear again. And there was a question on the immovable asset register. I don't remember what was it. Did it complete? Did it complete?
How far are you?
Yeah. No, the immovable asset register. Yeah. We are currently engaging the services of Ernst & Young to look into that. It's a serious project. As a department, I know that we've been talking about this for the past 18 years, but the honorable members are aware of this immovable asset register story.
Yeah.
There has been many interventions in the department before to enhance. It's not about whether this exists or not. It's about the state in which it is in and whether properties are properly vested. But there's a report on that, honorable chair, that I can forward to you. We have presented it to the NCOP, select committee, no?
Yeah.
And you have, so there is a report that can actually give you a rounded and where things are now, but we are gearing for 2013 March to have finished a certain percentage, or to have captured a certain percentage of this asset. But also, I need to emphasize that the issue of the immovable asset register for public works is not only a public works. We have to work very close to the rural development. The Chief Surveyor General, I've met with him. He's busy now verifying pieces. He's busy with a verification process of immovable assets throughout the country. As soon as he's finished with that verification, part of what he must do, he must hand over those immovable assets to public works, which will constitute part of enhancing the immovable asset register of the country, which is under the custodianship of public works. But we'll make the report available to you. Yeah. Then, Chairperson, we agreed that we'll do a presentation on the property rates and taxes. The allocation for that immovable asset register. Treasury gave us
that's a problem.
Chair, when we talk about immovable assets, there's one is a program which consists as a branch. So it's different from the project about completeness of immovable assets register. Because in that branch, they are more than just handling the immovable assets register. They also give the performance of our property portfolio and so forth. So it's a part of our entire branch as a unit.
Okay. You heard the question?
No, Chairperson, mine was when the DG was making a comment to say they are looking for professionals to come back into the government system. And she was talking about the past experience of what used to happen in public works. And I'm sitting thinking and saying, yes, she's telling the truth. But what public works was doing by those years, it was not outsourcing. Nowadays, there's too much outsourcing. That's why we've got so much. Public works was one of the biggest departments that is giving employment, which is
decent employment and permanent employment to people. Panamanje, we are also, so you know, I was looking at the people working on the road. They say the road costs how many millions? But when you see the person who's get the payment to that person who's working on tar, which is dangerous, that person gets 2,000 rand per month. Some do get some. You know, it's such a mess when you go down at the ground. Then I'm asking myself, why don't public works, because if I was at the, as much as you hire professionals, can we also make sure that people really get decent jobs? And we are the people that say government is looking for jobs, but you are the one outsourcing. So the same people that come out from the department, they sit in a corner and open up a company and say, I'm a consultant, I'm a consulting engineer. The same people that come out and they start to charge you, because they've realized that we don't really want to be confident about ourselves and say, in our department, we're going to make sure as public works, we're no more outsourcing. If we need people that make tiles, there's going to be a project manager there, a qualified engineer, who will be having people to work under him. If you're going that route, my hands is up, I support that. But if you're going only to take professionals, and you're not going to make sure that it boils down there where there's permanent jobs, so that we should not complain about this job. People don't have, most people are unemployed, but we are the one making them unemployed by outsourcing. So everybody, and all of a sudden now is a business person, because we allow them to do that to us. If we can just change that and say, if you are a qualified, like you are talking about, qualified engineers, but they don't know practical, let them start somewhere there. So that when they come in to become managers and supervisors and whatever, they started at the ground, they've been learning, and it will also help you to say, in a certain, maybe after 3-4 years, they go and do their practical, come back and finish their degrees, and in that way will be moving forward. That one I'll support, if not only the profession, everybody will be employed. And I also support what Honorable Nell said. He says, this thing of saying properties are so high, they will charge us a lot of money, because they realize that we depend on their intelligence. We don't do our own homework. It's time that we change how we do things. Thank you.
Now, thank you. I think you remember the teacher spoke about reviving workshops.
I support it 100%.
Yeah. But honourable members, maybe we should. I thought that we would really talk about the issues in how to improve expenditure on the EPWP. But I'm glad the PG is saying that. They are speaking to premiers, you know, because DJ, I think that really that's where we need to start with the premiers. But also we hope that then later on we'll get a feedback around that. I don't know, Chaperson, if you want to make some comments, so we can wind up.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to come on what Honorable Swart said about a clean audit. You are 100% correct, Honorable Swart. Unless if people down on the ground and also us as members of parliament, we start disclosing property that is out there, property that some of us are occupying, property that some of us have rent out, property that is not known to government, unless we disclose, we'll never get a clean audit. Secondly, on the inner city regeneration, yes, it was a 2006 cabinet decision that there should be a program of inner city regeneration. But the difficulty is here, that the DG won't disclose, because he's also an official, that officials, head of the department, are resisting being in the center of Cape Town. They want to go to Sandton, they want to go to what, she doesn't want to disclose. Those are other people that are making our work difficult. Those are people that are making public works to have these problems of leases and whatever. If a decision can be taken, a serious decision, that nobody doesn't have a say of saying, I want my offices to be in this area, we must all go to the center of Pretoria. See, all we having this problem. The EPWP, we went for oversight work, visits. There are people, some of the people who don't, as I'm talking, don't understand what EPWP is. They think in EPWP you can use labor intensive method. And that's not the issue. I mean, the big machines, they want big machines, and it's not about the big machines. People don't understand that when it comes to food for waste, it's not a decision of the department. It's a community decision that we want food baskets. So we should all of us understand the issues that I'm underlining. And the other problem that the minister is, I'm not protecting the minister, that the minister is dealing with. In the Department of Public Works, you will never get correct figures. Never. Never. The DG is here. That's the fight that the minister is fighting. That's why we don't have full confidence in the officials in the department. Unless something is done with the present officials that are there, that are conniving right now as we are talking, that are resisting with information. That's why for the past 2 weeks, we had to send officials back to Pretoria. Because they will never give you the correct statistics. So those are the problems that we are sitting with in the Department of Public Works to say, let's go down, disclose, to say, this building, this house used to belong to Public Works, to agriculture. That's when we'll be able to get our asset register intact. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Now, I think that is well said, Chairperson. But I think that as Parliament, we support the minister in his endeavor to really turn around the department. It's not going to be easy. With your support, DG, we are aware that it's not going to be easy to do that. But I think that the Parliament has got our support, and I think the chairperson has also commented on the issue that I wanted to comment about on EPWP. I remember we went to a workshop in KZN, you know, for municipalities. Very few people understood or understand today what is it that can be classified as this expanded public works, can qualify as a public works program. I think that there's some drive, aggressive, what you call it, drive that you need to undertake to ensure that people do understand. But I'm sure that you can't do that from municipality to municipality. There are 12 and something, over 12 and 7, 8 municipalities you can't afford. But if there maybe could be regional or what, so that you really ensure that you inform people what is this about. But I don't want to repeat what colleagues have said, but the last thing maybe that I should have said earlier, honorable members, is that I see my friend is not here today, Mr. Henderson, PPG for... Yes, I understand that he has lost his brother, no? As a committee or committees, we extend our sincere condolences to him and the family for the loss. On that note, thank you very much, honorable members, and thank you, teacher, for coming. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chairman. I'll stop you.
Thank you.
So what's happening from tomorrow, Friday, when is the next meeting? Yes, some of you are also released. Thank you very much for your support. You know,
we
really always bank on you.
Go back to that old time so you can get out.
That's very flexible.
Next meeting is on Tuesday.
Yeah. These are the forms that I spoke to you about. Can you just
fill in now?
Fill in, not now, not now. Fill in. I will fill it in electronically on the system. But I need the information.
No, the
one family information. Yeah. There's a whole lot of stuff that I don't know.
Why do they want? What do they want to do with my family?
I don't know, Jay. This is Canada.
Yeah.